whole gang of media snoopers, including Jonathan Marks, scans from D.C. to daylight every Thursday here on Radio Netherlands. Their super-duper whopper-doppler receiver gizmos pick out the essence of what's happening in the world of international broadcasting. Radio Netherlands, we have the technology.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks for PCJ Online. Just about to push the button on another program from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
From the west coast of Europe, Radio Netherlands has the teamwork to make the dream work.
Media Network, the weekly communications review, hosted by Jonathan Marks.
Hello, glad you could join us, and I note that the answer line, Hilversum 724222, is busier than ever, sometimes with news for the show, but also with straightforward reactions like this one.
Hello, my name is Kevin Posey. I'm a professor of political science at Young Harris College, that's in the mountains of North Georgia. Just calling to say how much I enjoy the program.
Well, nice to know you're listening, Kevin. And on the subject of professors, our congratulations to the host and producer of Radio Austria International's Kurzwellen Panorama, Wolf Harrant, who's been awarded the title of professor. As well as contributing to the radio for the last 30 years, he's well known in Vienna as an author, translator, and vice president of the International Institute for Children's Literature. I need to pass on a couple of important frequency changes to you now. Our European service in English has been suffering severe interference problems, which have gradually got worse since the start of the new summer transmission season. So, effective yesterday, Wednesday the 19th of May, we've moved to 9650 kHz, 9650 between 11:30 and 13:25 UTC. My thanks to John Pettigrew and Andreas Schmidt, who phoned in immediately to report the things have improved considerably. So that's new, 9650, alongside the traditional 5955 kHz, starting at 11:30 UTC daily. And for a three-week period, starting this coming Monday, we're making a temporary frequency change in our service to Africa, between 17:30 and 19:25 UTC. Because of essential engineering work to one of the antennas at the Bonaire relay station in the Dutch Caribbean, we have to drop 21515 in favour of new 17655 kHz, 17655. Once the work's been completed, though, we plan to move back up to 13 metres. So that's new, 17655 kHz between 17:30 and 19:25 UTC, commencing Monday, May the 24th. Now we switch to Asia and a feature exclusive.
Cambodia moon shining, and the world's crying, there's no one to pity me. Cambodia moon's aging, while the war's raging, it's so wonderful to be.
The experience of the UN mission in Namibia was the basis for the decision to put together an information division for this, the largest of the United Nations peacekeeping missions. The mandate of UNTAC, our mandate, is so large, and the reality of conducting elections so urgent that headquarters decided to make certain that there was indeed a major information public awareness effort.
The voice of Tim Carney, the head of the Radio UNTAC, part of the media operation set up by the United Nations Transitional Authority in Cambodia. This coming Sunday, May the 23rd, elections are due to start. Many months ago, the United Nations decided that the population needed to know more than what was being broadcast over the state-controlled media. So a network of medium wave stations was set up, the main station being in Phnom Penh on 918 kHz. We asked M. Carney what this station is putting out now that the broadcast hours have been extended once again to 15 hours a day, starting at 5:30 local time in the morning.
First of all, news, but most basically on the elections themselves, and that can be divided into three aspects: the mechanics of the process, how you register to vote, and indeed, finally, where you go to actually vote when the polls open on the 23rd of May. Second, we would be producing materials, both documentary and sort of docudramas, on aspects of coping with political intimidation, for example. The third aspect, which is equally important, is that we have an effort which gives equal time to each of the 20 political parties to make their own statement of the issues, the problems, and their own candidates, and the symbol that will appear on the ballot paper, so that people can know the parties and the issues better.
នឹង បណ្ដា ភាគី ដទៃ ទៀត ចេញ ចូល បាន ដោយ សេរី ឬ វា គឺ មិន ពិត ដូច នោះ ឡើយ.
The state of Cambodia-controlled media have refused to give other parties access to primetime and have harassed other factions. You heard the television there. When the main opposition Royalist Party tried to set up their own television station earlier this year, the equipment was confiscated and was only released when the UN intervened.
In early 1992, when the UNTAC mission arrived, the largest capability, the most extensive, was that of the faction of the State of Cambodia, which has its capital here in Phnom Penh. It's the largest faction. It had inherited the broadcast capabilities of Cambodia since independence. It included medium-wave broadcast, FM broadcast, and short-wave broadcast capabilities. At the same time, the smaller factions, the Phun Sin Pek faction and the KPNLF faction of Mr. Son Son, also had medium-wave transmitters located inside Cambodia near the Thai border in the northwest of the country. Those were very small facilities indeed, about 5 kilowatts, as I recall. In addition, the fourth faction, the faction which has refused to join in the peace process, will not participate in the elections and opposes them, the faction of Democratic Kampuchea, better known as the Khmer Rouge, have for some time had 2 shortwave broadcast facilities, one broadcasting from southern China and the other from Thailand. After the signing of the Paris Agreements, those facilities were moved into Cambodia and united into one station, which is the Voice of Democratic Kampuchea now. It is known as the Voice of the Great National Union Front of Cambodia. It only broadcasts in shortwave.
Zhao Mei from Singapore is head of production at Radio UNTAC and told us they have quite a job training people to present their message with more style than the usual deadpan delivery, reading from a written statement. Tim Carney says they've even had visits from American politicians.
Both the Democratic and Republican parties of the United States have a team in town now helping the process of democratic pluralism in Cambodia, and they have given seminars in how you present yourself for TV or indeed on radio.
The UN radio operation knows they're getting through thanks to around 200 reactions per month that they've received, but it's more than letters.
The rather more substantial way we have to know our audience response is that I have, as part of this division, a unit of academics, anthropologists, historians, political scientists who speak Cambodian and who travel throughout the country. One of their most important tasks is to find out whether the people understand the themes UNTAC is striking, where the gaps or the misperceptions are, so that they can come back and relate to the producers of our radio effort. Perhaps the most important effort we've had to undertake is a major focus on the secrecy of the ballot. And Cambodians in general know about elections. Indeed, ever since the late 40s, there have been a number of elections and referendums in Cambodia. But what people must know is whether their ballot will be secret. And the extent of understanding of UNTAC's determination to preserve the secrecy of the ballot is something that this team has spent a lot of time and questions, answers, trying to bring back to us.
So far, two political parties have had their programs rejected, one on the grounds that the program might incite racial hatred. The material which comes from within Radio UNCTAD is vetted for what you might term political correctness. That's because the vocabulary of the Cambodian language is complex.
Let me give a quick example. The Cambodian word for people, the people, can be translated using three different words. One has the connotations of the subjects of a monarchy. Another has a connotation of the masses in a socialist state. And the third is rather more particular to the Republican administration, which failed in 1975 when the Khmer Rouge won. And our challenge was to try to create a term sufficiently neutral so that we didn't seem to be taking sides by using a word for people.
Medium wave and shortwave radio is already very popular in Cambodia, but the UN were pleased when around 350,000 new and used portable sets were donated by a Japanese foundation, the Tokyo government, and the Japanese Social Democratic Party. The Dutch Marine Battalion in Sisophon, part of the UN presence, found that there were problems, though, when they were assigned the job of giving the radios away to the local population. Major Jack Savers is the commander of logistic support.
When the military observers started to hand out the radios, then the local population knew very quick that they came from the Dutch camps. So first they start stealing the radios out of the camp, and then we decided to hand them over as quick as possible because we want to get rid of it. We tried to hand it over here in Sisophon, and before the truck left the camp, there was such a big crowd outside the gate that it was impossible for the truck to get out of the camp. So we had about 20, 30,000 people here in front of the gate, and they all want to have a radio. So we had to ask for assistance from our quick reaction force to get the camp free, and that's the reaction of the people. And what we see now in this camp is that they steal other things in the nighttime, and one or two days later, for instance, they have stolen some computers from our offices. And a few days later, they come back and they say, you can get back your computer, but we want to have 20 radios for it. Kilohertz seems to sound the same in many languages, doesn't it? That's what Radio UNCTAD sounds like. It's all in Cambodian, of course. But once the elections are over, how long will Radio UNCTAD stay? Tim Carney again.
UNCTAD is here to plant seeds, to expose Cambodians to options. It's Cambodians who have to decide what to pick and choose from and how to develop the options that we have hopefully given to them. Now, to move away from philosophy and talk about hardware, it's not yet clear what might happen to the studios and to the relay transmitters of Radio UNCTAD. Everything in Cambodia is vulnerable to anyone who is sufficiently determined to attack it. I can recall having been here in the early 1970s, and shortly before my arrival, the radio facility at Phnom Penh, at Stung Mien Che, where the transmitter and antennas are, was attacked, and indeed, there was considerable damage there.
So, how are they sure that Radio UNCTAD won't be attacked during the coming election campaign?
UNCTAD itself is so far, with some noted murderous exceptions, not been the subject of direct attack. The Party of Democratic Kampuchea still seems to regard its rival Cambodian faction, the State of Cambodia, as its main target.
Tim Carney. And that report was compiled by Marijke van der Meer, who's just returned from Cambodia and who will be presenting the first of two documentaries on that country on June the 9th here on Radio Netherlands. The line from Sri Lanka has come up now, where Victor Gunatilaka has some tuning suggestions for us. Victor, Radio Antak isn't on shortwave, of course, but the Khmer Rouge, voice of the Great National Union Front, is well heard across South Asia on shortwave, and they have some English broadcasts now each Thursday, which is new. Mind you, the frequency of 5408 kHz isn't new, is it?
Well, not at all. It has been used for quite a long time, and 5408 is exactly where we measure the station, and it has been very stable there, no drifting and all that. And we have a very good signal from 12 hours to 14 hours UTC, and by the way, they seem to sign off 1 hour earlier now. The former sign-off was at 1500, but now they sign off at 14 hours UTC.
Well, most of that's in Cambodian, but BBC Monitoring note English segments at 01 hours and 13 hours UTC on Thursdays only. I guess the 13 hours release should be easy for you to hear, at least in South Asia.
Oh, yes, sir, with the reception being excellent on 5408 kHz, Jonathan.
OK, now what else is new in your region?
Well, not clandestine anymore, but this is a new country, Eritrea. The voice of the broad masses of Eritrea is giving good reception on 7380 kHz, 1430 to 17 hours UTC, and the reception is quite good here in Sri Lanka, and even the music is very listenable.
Very listenable even over the telephone. Let's stay in Africa, but switch back to Media Wave.
Well, yes, Jonathan, thanks to Media Network and the tip you gave us about Sao Tome, the new Voice of America relay station, I have been listening on 1530 kHz, that's 1530 kHz medium wave, to the new Voice of America relay station. And reception here in Sri Lanka at 1730 is fair to poor, but it's indeed quite a thrill to get a new country on from far away Sao Tome. And the frequency, once again, 1530 kHz. Reception beginning around 1645 and going well past 18 hours.
Are you using special equipment to get that?
Oh, no. Just a long wire antenna with my National DR32, which is not a very excellent sort of receiver anyway, Jonathan.
So, in other words, people can expect to get a weak signal on a reasonable portable radio?
Oh, yes, of course. I did try it on my two-band National Panasonic, and the reception is not quite as good as on the bigger set, but certainly it's there if you look for it.
OK, thank you for the feedback, Victor. Marconi Communications Incorporated of Virginia, USA, have just announced they've been awarded a $35 million contract to build a new shortwave relay station for the Voice of America in Sri Lanka. It's to be operational in late winter 1994, and initially three transmitters are to be installed at the new site. And it's looking as though next Friday, May the 28th, will be a historic day when the Voice of America makes its first and maybe last broadcast in shortwave stereo. VOA plans to make extended use of its feeder frequency of 10869 kHz during the period of the European DX Council conference to be held on the Canary Islands. Between 22 and 23 hours UTC on May the 28th, an independent sideband transmitter at Bethany, Ohio, will put out VOA Europe on 10869 kHz, the left channel in lower sideband and the right channel in upper sideband. More details on this world's first next week. Hang on, who's this?
What do you mean VOA is going to be the first to do international stereo broadcasting? Down here in the South, we thought of that before Marconi invented radio. We have
big plans, big listener club. Just a slight problem with the transmitter, little electrical power difficulty. Where did I put them listener club certificates?
Aha, maybe you recall the over-the-top claims by Dixie Norman, an entrepreneur in Opelika, Alabama, who, in the mid-80s, claimed that shortwave stereo was just round the corner. There was an NDXE listeners' club with various paraphernalia you could order, a construction permit with the FCC, but never any broadcasts. But I suppose, as far as the idea is concerned, credit where credit is due?
That's no problem. I take Visa, MasterCard, American Express card, kidney donor card, baseball card, playing card.
Back to Europe. Richard Meacham of BBC Monitoring reports that as from Monday of this week, World Telecommunications Day, Radio Yugoslavia started relaying its FM service that's normally only heard in the Belgrade area. It pops up on 9505 kHz just before 14 hours UTC, with a different interval signal than the external service. There's news in several languages, including English. Here's a compilation of what to look for.
Radio Yugoslavia, 104 MHz FM.
This is Radio Yugoslavia broadcasting on 100.4 MHz FM and to Europe on 9,505 kHz. Good afternoon. Here is the news.
Media at Work. News from the World Radio TV Handbook editorial offices in Amsterdam. Here's Andy Sennett.
Well, first a correction to something I said last time I was on the program. I mentioned Radio Portugal using 9780 kHz to Europe, including English on Mondays to Fridays. I said that the English broadcast is at 1830 UTC. In fact, it's at 1800, thanks to Tom Sundstrom for pointing that one out. In the meantime, Salvatore Tlacanica in Italy sent me the complete engineering schedule of Radio Portugal, and I see they've another out-of-band frequency, 17595 kHz, 17595, which is on the air in Portuguese from 06 to 08 hours UTC at weekends, and from 10 to 12 hours UTC Monday to Friday, beamed towards Timor.
Yes, in the past, Radio Portugal has tended to use frequencies within the overcrowded portions of the dial. Now, by the look of it, they're becoming more adventurous.
I think the Portuguese have always been adventurous, Jonathan. Anyway, next to Romania, and the domestic service called Romania Actualitati is now being relayed on shortwave. BBC Monitoring reports hearing the relays at 05 to 11:30 UTC on 11940 and 15250 kHz, and between 22 hours and 05 hours UTC on 7255 kHz, with some day-to-day variations. Another source, the DX report program on RIAS Berlin, says the schedule is 05 to 10:30 UTC on 11940 and 15250 kHz, and 21 to 05 hours on 7225 and 9625 kHz. So obviously they don't yet have a definitive schedule.
Well, we listened yesterday, Wednesday, on 11940 kHz at around 10 hours UTC, and this was the type of signal here in Hilversum.
Veți mai putea afla cum a debutat primul simpozion internațional de informatică economică la București și ce s-a întâmplat și cât de importantă este o publicație științifică abia lansată, PC World Romania.
Sounds like a bit of sponsorship there. 11940 kHz was the frequency at the time, 10 hours UTC.
Something from the realms of fantasy now. A story has been going around some of the computer bulletin boards here in Europe that the offshore station Radio Caroline is coming back on the air on medium wave, thanks to investment by a rich Arab. Well, we checked that one out with some people from Radio Caroline itself, and of course there's absolutely no truth in that story.
But it's a good rumour, isn't it? But there's also been some news involving a sort of offshore radio station in the UK.
Indeed. Richard Hunt in Tadcaster rang me with the news that the group which has won the franchise to operate a new commercial radio station in Scarborough on the east coast of England includes supermarket owner Wilf Proudfoot. Now, that name rings a bell with some of our older listeners. It's because in the 1960s, Mr. Proudfoot owned the offshore station Radio 270 that served the same part of the country. Anyway, apparently the idea has been suggested that instead of finding and converting studio premises in the town itself, the station could operate from a ship anchored in the harbour and feed its programmes by microwave link to a transmitter site. And Richard suggests that this could be Britain's first inshore radio station.
That's an interesting idea. Mind you, Radio Caroline has had the same arrangement while operating with a temporary licence in Dover Harbour last year.
Exactly. And there's also another Radio Caroline connection, because apparently one of the other people in the group is Paul Rustling, a former Caroline disc jockey, and he's the man behind that rather controversial project called Radio Baltic International that's currently under construction in Lithuania.
Right, no doubt we'll have more on both those stories in a future programme. Back now to shortwave.
Yes, in Belgium, Radio Flandre Internationale has made some more frequency changes. The transmission to the Middle East and East Africa at 16 to 17 hours UTC has moved up 5 kHz from 15540 to 15545 kHz. Then on weekdays at 09:30 to 11:30 and 16 to 17 hours, Sundays from 07 to 11:30 and 12:30 to 17 hours, RVI has moved from 17540 to 17515 kHz. And that information from Paul Brems in Brussels.
Incidentally, Radio Flandre Internationale has also a new fax number. It's 32 for Belgium, 2 for Brussels, and then 732-6295. And also they have an open day, which is planned for August the 21st this year at their studios in Brussels. Sounds quite interesting. I hope to be there myself. Now to a mystery.
Yes, there seems to be another new Italian private station on shortwave. Salvatore Placanica heard it at 11:30 UTC on the 13th of May on 5960 kHz, 5960. The station mentioned Cassare, which is a little town just 6 kilometres from Salvatore's listening post, so obviously he was hearing the ground wave, but the name of the station is so far not known.
Well, as usual, if you have anything to add to that or have anything else to say, you can call our 24-hour answer line, 3135 724-222. Andy, I believe you're off to a meeting at the weekend?
Yes, on Saturday it's the annual general meeting of the Danish Shortwave Clubs International. In fact, it's more than that. Each year the club rents some accommodation just outside Copenhagen and holds a weekend DX camp. The DSWCI is arguably the most international of all the world's DX clubs, and membership and activity levels are very healthy. The monthly publication Shortwave News is always full to the brim with information, and there's also a fortnightly newsletter for the most active DXers. And we mustn't forget the DSWCI's unique annual publication, the Tropical Band Survey.
Plus, of course, they do a DX programme on Adventist World Radio. Looking at some of the publications from clubs in other parts of the world, not all of them are doing quite as well.
That's right. In my opinion, it's all down to good management. The DSWCI is led by experienced DXers with various professional skills that they've been able to bring to the hobby. People in that position are also more able to handle problems and take decisions when the need arises. The annual meeting is a chance for all the members to have their say in the affairs of the club, but the fact that there are seldom any complaints or objections speaks volumes for the quality of the club's officials.
I think it's also down to the fact that the club officials are also active listeners, because that's the trouble. Sometimes people go into the management side of clubs and forget to listen to the radio.
Absolutely, and also they live in the same area of Denmark and they actually get on with each other, which is also important.
Andy, thanks for joining us.
Radio Netherlands, a wealth of features that's free with every shortwave radio.
Encouraging to see a whole flood of reaction to the Radio Oranje contest. Kurt Ringel in Wiesbaden, Germany, said he was disappointed that the question we asked was so silly. In the next competition, why don't we ask who won the Second World War and who came second? Well, Kurt, it's interesting that a lot of contestants have forgotten to allow for leap years in their solutions. So even though the question was simple, how many days since the station signed off, they nevertheless got the answer wrong. Also, I always try to create contests that don't penalise new listeners. I recall hearing contests back in the late 1970s that asked things like, what was the first frequency used by the Basque separatist station Radio Euskadi when it broadcast from Venezuela? And what colours were used on the QSL card? Well, shortwave is selective enough without making contests for a tiny elite. If you can find the right mix to interest both new and experienced listeners, then I think you're being fair to everyone. Let's take a call.
Hello, Jonathan. This is David Small in Cannock, Staffordshire in England. On last week's programme, you gave out an address for the Australian Armed Forces Radio, but unfortunately I was unable to copy it all down. Is there any chance you maybe can repeat it in this week's programme, please?
No problem. Here it comes. Stand by.
The best way of getting us is care of me, Hugh McKenzie.
Right.
Department of Defence, EMU, which is Electronic Media Unit. And the address is Anzac Park West. And you then write APW, Alpha Papa Whiskey, 1/B/07. And then that's Reid, R-E-I-D, Australian Capital Territory, 2601.
Next week on the show, we'll delve further into digital audio broadcasting. Join us then. Bye for now.
Copyright 1993.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.